Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
What else belongs to us that we ought to be using, that we ought to be walking in, that we ought to be standing in, that we ought to be embracing, that we are right in the midst of and we don't even see it, that is hidden in plain sight? Your help, your power, your strength, your answers, your solutions, they're not coming. They're not on their way. God doesn't use the United States Postal Service 3 day, next day, 7 days. Your answers are right in front of you. He is serving without senses. He is serving. He's doing the work, but he doesn't have the sensitivity. Now, I'm going to back this up a minute because I got to do a little bit of teaching for you to get the benefit. When the Bible calls somebody sensual, it doesn't necessarily mean sexual. Okay? When the Bible says you're sensual, it starts to talk about walking in your senses. You know, sight, hearing, smell, touch, all of those are your senses. You got five senses that you learned in elementary school, or you learned in preschool. You had five senses, natural senses, through which you have contact with the world. They help you to navigate. They're survival techniques and instincts that are inherent in the human species, so that your senses will tell you, you can smell certain things, you can see certain things, you can hear certain things. They are your alarm systems to let you know what's going on around you, peripheral. What you might not know is that you also have spiritual senses. As a born-again, blood-washed child of God, you have spiritual senses. And you cannot serve God without developing spiritual senses. I'm going to go into this. I'm going to show you several people who did it and it gave them trouble. In 1 Samuel, it talks about how Samuel, being a boy, served under Eli but didn't know God. The Bible said he served in the temple every day, having not known the Lord. You'd be surprised at the people who work in the church and don't know God. You'd be surprised at the people who go to church and don't know God, who have ectuses on their car, crosses on their neck, Bibles in their hand. They say godly stuff, they have godly colloquialisms, but they really don't know God. They don't know God because you don't know him, because you've never been in a test with him, and you just like to be around his people. Being around his people is not like being around him. Samuel knew Eli, but he didn't know God. Peter knew Jesus, but he really had not learned God. When the storm, see, the storm tells you what you know, how developed your senses are, where you stand with God. You can't find out till you get in a storm. It looked like Peter knew God, but when the storm arose, he ran down there and said the same thing that this other said. Wake up, master. What are we going to do? You remember how Jesus woke up out of sleep and went to the bow of the ship and said, peace be still? But he also rebuked Peter and said, oh, ye of little faith. And I wonder, what did Peter do wrong? Because all he did was ask you to help him. Jesus rebuked him for having little faith because he woke up God over something he should have been able to handle. You woke me up for this? Father, open his eyes. Jesus, you woke me up for this? Oh, Peter, ye of little faith, peace be still. Your trouble is your training. And you're trying to get God to get you out of something that God sent to teach you something. Oh my God, it's gonna get good in a minute. What God is trying to teach you is that you have underdeveloped senses. I want to go into this a little deeper. Now, Let me see. How can I illustrate this? I need somebody. Come here, bro. Come here, bro. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. Because you're small. I need somebody small to stand beside me. See? You see how much smaller than he is? Smaller than he is than me? He's smaller than me. He's smaller than me. But I have no more muscle than him. Everywhere I got a muscle, he got a muscle. Everywhere I got a bone, he got a bone. Everywhere I got a tissue, he got a tissue. The only difference is how much one is developed over the other. If he decided, he doesn't want to because he wants to look good in his skinny jeans. But if he decided to bulk up, he could bulk up and out bulk me if he wanted to, because God has dealt to each of us the same measure of possibility. It's just how we choose to exhibit it. Come on, let's flex a little bit. Let's give it to him. You see there? You see there? You got it. I got it. You got it. I got it. It's right there. All he has to do, if he wants it, is get in the gym and develop it. Watch this. The same way you develop a muscle, you develop your inner senses. And the only way you can develop your inner senses is by reason of use. If you don't use it, you don't develop it. If you always cater to your fleshly senses, you don't develop spiritual sensitivity and you don't grow in that area, so you are reacting to how you feel, what you see, what you heard, what they said, what they did. That's the problem with the servant. He's reacting to what he sees, what he heard, what they said. And whenever you get in a spiritual fight and all you got is natural senses, you freak out and say, thank you, master, what we gonna do? And the reason you don't know what to do is that you sat around spiritual people. You clap with spiritual people. You sang with spiritual people, but you never used it as an opportunity to develop spiritual senses. I got to drive this home, because if you miss this, it wasn't no need of me teaching it. There are crazy scriptures that don't make any sense if what I said is not true. Like this one. He that have an ear, let him hear. What does that mean? Who don't have an ear? He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What does that mean? Who in here don't have an ear? Everybody got an ear. Ebonics, get your dictionary. Now, but the Bible's not talking about an outer ear. It's talking about an inner ear. In the Old Testament, it calls our fleshly ear an uncircumcised ear. You have an outer ear so that you can hear outer noise. You have an inner ear so that you can hear spiritual direction. You have an outer eye so that you can see natural things. And then you have a spiritual eye where you can see vision. I want to back this up, because if you get this, this is going to change the reason you worship. It's going to change how often you pray in the Spirit. It's going to affect everything in your life, because when you don't pray in the Spirit, you're not building up yourself in your most holy faith. So we're going to Hebrews. Take me to Hebrews. Yeah, we're going to Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Take a quick look at this. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. And so we're going to jump right in. Well, I'll give you a minute. Hebrews 5. I give you 30 seconds. Hebrews 5, 11. I give you 15 seconds. Hebrews 5, 11. Okay, you got it? Of whom we have many things to say. The writer says, I got so much to say that's hard to be uttered because ye are dull of hearing. Now, does he mean that they need a hearing aid? No, they're dull of hearing, flesh over ear. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, for as long as you've been around, you should be a teacher. You've been a Christian longer than a doctor studied medicine, and you still don't know the word. For as long as you have been around, you ought to be teachers. You've been a minister 10, 12, 15 years. You still don't understand the tabernacle. For as long as you've been around, you should have been a teacher. A title don't make you a teacher, baby. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You're still drinking milk. For everyone, the Bible says, that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, underline this, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. God says the only way to build up your spiritual senses is to use them. And to be by exercise, exercise in the Greek is gymnasu, where we get gymnasium. And so God puts you in trouble to work you out.
The 2022 International Leadership Summit.
I'm a master builder.
March 31st through April 2nd, Charlotte, North Carolina. Learn from brilliant minds.
You don't need another confirmation. You don't need another phone call. Go be powerful.
Your reach is determined by the level of your thoughts. What did you think?
Ready to build? Visit thisisils.org to register.
I've got something. Say it. I've got. Say it again. Wherever you run out, that's where he runs in. As long as you act like you don't run out, you don't give him no place to run in. But if you open up and say, I'm out of it, I don't know what to do, I can't fix it, I can't bring it together, I can't handle it, he'll run in and fill up that gap. Whatever you need, God is a gap filler. He said, Father, open his eyes. First of all, that tells me he did have eyes. He just wasn't using them. When the enemy comes against you, you got to use everything. You got to use everything. I mean, when you're surrounded and he's coming in for the kill, you got to use everything. You say, well, the army hadn't shot at him or nothing yet, Bishop. Yeah, he had. The moment he takes your peace, he shot at you. The moment he takes your joy, he shot at you. The moment you're laying in your bed terrified, he shot at you. So the prophet came out there and he said, Father, open his eyes that he might see that there are more. I got out my bed this morning to tell you there are more. If I don't say nothing else to you, there are more that are with you than there are that are against you. You are, oh God, I don't mean to stir it up. I'm trying not to stir it up. Now watch this. What blew my mind, because people preach that part all the time, but they don't preach anything else out of the text. When I was looking at the text, what intrigued me is that after he said, "Father, open his eyes," then Elijah stood out there and said, "The same God that opened his eyes, closed their eyes." I know that enemy has come down to your life to destroy you, and he's got a plan for your life, but God is going to shut his eyes. He's not even going to be able to see. He shall talk. Oh, my God. I feel a prophetic anointing on me. I don't even know who this is for, but God is going to shut his eyes. I've seen him do it. Tell somebody, tell him I've seen him do it. I've seen my enemies coming in for the kill, but they couldn't focus because the kids got sick. The dog died. The calf broke down. When God is fighting for you, he'll fight in ways you don't even know how to fight. He said, "I'm going to open the eyes of my children, and I'm going to shut the eyes of their enemies." Woo! Isn't that good? That's my favorite part right there. The same God that opened the servant's eyes shut down the eyes of the entire Syrian army. And then the very one they were coming to kill, because they had never met him. Most people who hate me don't know me. The people who are all on Twitter and all on Facebook writing blogs, I've had people write books about me and never met me. So they was hating on somebody they didn't even know. So he came out there and told them, "You're not in the place you need to be, and I'm not the one you're looking for, but I'll take you to him." And he led him from Dothan blind. And the one they were looking for was hidden. In plain sight. I hear the Lord saying, "They're never going to see you coming. Whoever this is for, you're going to slip into that position without them ever even seeing you coming." God said he has blinded their eyes to your potential. They're going to give you an opportunity because they never realized that once you get that opportunity, your career is going to explode into another dimension. God said he has blinded their eyes. And Elijah leads him from Dothan to Samaria. When he gets him in Samaria, watch this. This is important. When he gets him in Samaria, he says, "Now, Lord, open their eyes." And when they opened their eyes, they were in Samaria and they were surrounded by the king of Israel. Well, there's something I didn't notice, and maybe you didn't notice it either. You remember the angels that had them surrounded? I never noticed that the angels were never needed. God dispatched legions of angels for your confidence. You know how In chemistry class, they give you a test, and the test could be dangerous, but it was in a controlled environment. That God has put them in a controlled environment. And the angels didn't have to fight. They were there for control. Let me tell you where the angels are right now. The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him. The word fear there means to reverence. To reverence is to acknowledge or be aware of. When you work out in your spiritual senses, you draw heaven to surround your situation. That's why when trouble comes, the first thing the enemy tries to get you to do is to operate in your flesh. Because if you operate in your flesh, you lose your defense. And I admit it, it's my temptation too. It's my temptation too. When he hits me, the first thing I want to do is resort back to. I get that look on my face, and these jaws start shaking, and my eyes start bucking. But God says, if you're going to fight it, if you're going to handle it, if you're going to curse them out, if you're going to get even, if you're going to get revenge, I don't have to. I told you this is a gymnasium. Not one lick was passed. Not one blow was passed. This is an exercise to teach you to walk in the spirit and not to walk in the flesh. Okay, let me show you something. He brings them down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel is his enemy. He is now surrounded by his enemy. And the king of Israel says to Elijah, "Shall I kill him?" And Elijah says something that's been with me. I've been looking at this text for about 3 weeks. It's been with me ever since. Because it's so much wisdom in it. It's still marinating in me. It's going to be in me after I preach this message. Elijah looks at him and says, "No. Why should you kill what you've conquered?" Let me tell you what Elijah told the king of Israel. He said, "Put your sword away and feed them." Watch this. You got to go and read this text over again because it's going to mean more to you now. So they prepared an elaborate banquet for their enemies. And they fed their enemies. The ones they wanted to kill, they fed them. And the Bible said, and there was no more war between the king of Syria and the king of Israel. Listen to this. Everybody stand to your feet. You got to decide, do you want to look good or do you want to win? I have known this for some time. The real test in any situation is not on the powerless, it's on the powerful. Your character is proven by what you will do when you have the upper hand. If you want the nature of Christ to be proven in your life, have the upper hand and not use it. Have the sword and put it away. They open their eyes and they're surrounded by the enemy. They just know they're gonna die. And here comes mercy. And mercy spreads out a table and feeds them. I know it's hard to do, but if you become big enough to do good to them that despitefully use you, when God has shown you that I am with you to the point that you can glory in tribulation, that you can face bad news with courage, that you can say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. When you are aware of God to the point that what is threatening you right now does not intimidate you, your help could be right in front of you and you not see it.
Isn't it funny how God will move whatever he has to move to line you up for what's next in your life? Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't even in line for the blessing? God is getting ready to reverse the order.
For your gift of any amount, you'll receive the Rightfully Mine CD.
This is a higher calling.
A powerful message about wrestling with destiny.
I press toward the mark of a higher call on my life.
You'll also receive the Bridges and Blessings 2022 calendar.
The blessing is rightfully yours. It is rightfully yours.
Call or go online and this life-giving message and gorgeous calendar can be yours today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Touch.